On tonight, I would like to introduce to you Brother Paul Mays. He serves at the West Side Church of Christ in Salem, Virginia. He will be speaking to us from the topic, The Church of Christ is the Church of Christ, Matthew chapter 16, the verses number 18, and the second scripture is Romans chapter 16. The verse is number 16. Paul, will you tell us about the Church of Christ is the Church of Christ? Thank you.
It would be a privilege to. Greetings, friends and brethren. My name is Paul Mays. I am a Christian, just a Christian. I'm located in Virginia, in the Blue Ridge Mountains, nestled down in the Roanoke Valley, and I am just a Christian. There's no prefix before that, no suffix after it, no substitutions. What I mean is I'm not a hyphenated Christian. That's because there are no hyphenated Christians in the Bible. One is either a Christian or there's something else entirely. It is the completely sufficient word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that makes one a Christian. Adherence to it, study it, believe it, obey it. That's where we get our faith. One actually cannot become a Baptist or a Methodist or a Protestant of any kind, a Catholic or an Orthodox or anything else, by turning to that completely sufficient Bible. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The disciples, well, they were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's 4:12. That's what I want to be. That's what I want you to be, because that's who's going to go to heaven. Christians, Christ followers, those who are in Christ, part of his one blood-bought body, bride, kingdom. Church. So I'm in the Blue Ridge Mountains, but I'm down in the valley, the Roanoke Valley. I love it here. I worship with the West Side Church in Salem. It's not far from here. I'm a husband. I'm a father. And I am not a pulpit minister there over at West Side. I'm not a preacher. I'm just a Christian, a servant. I wear a bunch of hats, and the most important hat that I wear is that of a hymn writer. I actually have to say slowly what it is that I do, because most people have not heard of what it is that I do for work. Even members of the Lord's Church, I am an a cappella teaching hymn writer. I write hymns that are designed to be sung congregationally. Every song a sermon. And that's going to bring us to our message of the evening. The Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. Yes, that's just as profound as it is simple. What I mean to show is that the church that I'm a part of, that I want you to be a part of, is the actual church that Jesus promised to build in Matthew 16:18. The one that he promised will still stand forever. I don't mean until the earth burns up. I mean the Lord's church will always exist as his one holy bride that he will take home to heaven. That's what I want to be a part of. I don't want to be a part of religious division, which hurts Jesus. Instead, I want to be a part of the one holy bride of Christ. And dear friend, that's what I want for you. So what I'm actually going to do, normally I take these hymns and I take them to meetings, singing, preaching, revival meetings. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds old school. Well, I take these out and I have an old school meeting, like old school, like 2,000 years old school, the way the church has always done it. Sing, preach. Teach about Jesus, teach people the one way of salvation in that one church of the Bible, and I include these songs, and what I do is I teach the church to sing the song, and then we take apart the lyrics by the authority of Scripture. We do so because when we are singing, we are teaching. Colossians 3:16 and Colossians 3:17 tells us that whatever we do must be by the authority of Jesus Christ. Whatever we teach, whatever we sing when we're teaching, whatever we teach when we're singing must be by the authority of, in the name of, Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17. So what we're going to do, normally I'd teach you to sing this. I'd be in a congregation and we'd all sing it together. And when we do this, you'd be teaching me while I teach you. That's the way God designed his worship music. It's for us to teach one another, admonish, encourage. But in this case, I'm going to play the audio right now. Afterwards, we're going to be more noble like those Berean Jews in Acts 17:11. They were called more noble because they looked up the scriptures to find out if what they were being taught was truth. We're going to do that together. Now, you can find better quality audio of these hymns, this hymn, and many, many, many others that I write. I've written somewhere in the neighborhood of 150. I've got a goal of 500 by 2028, and I'm ahead of schedule. But you can find this on YouTube. You can find it on Facebook, and you can find it in PowerPoint format, and you can get with me on these hymns if you want to sing these songs, teach them in your congregations. You can get with me at thepleased@gmail.com. That's thepleased, thepleased@gmail.com. So before we take apart these lyrics, compare them to the authority of Scripture, I want us to have a listen.
Are you looking for Jesus? Well, he's looking for you. Are you looking for answers? His answers are true. Are you looking for family? We are looking for you. We are waiting with Jesus. He will surely add you. You may be wondering if his church still stands. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He is the way and he has offered life. The Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. Are you seeking salvation? Well, we have sought it too. And we found it in Jesus, oh, and he is the truth. He will save the one body, one Savior, one bride. And it's just like the one ark, all the saved are inside. You may be wondering if his church still stands. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He is the way and he has offered life. The Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. Are you ready to know him? Please obey the one true. Through obedience we know him and our love is shown true. It's the blood that will save us, oh, when we are inside. When we're baptized into him, we become the one bride. You may be wondering if his church still stands, Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He is the way and he has offered life. The Church of Christ, the Church of Christ is the Church of Christ.
All righty, I pray that is a blessing to you. We're going to take apart these lyrics. We're going to compare them to the authority of Scripture. Now, I'm going to be moving rather quickly, so I want you to write these scriptures down. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. You should never take anybody's word for it when they're teaching you something spiritual. You need to always turn to the authoritative scriptures, the God-breathed record, and make sure that what you are being taught is the actual doctrine of Christ, 2 John 1:9. All right, let's dig in. Are you looking for Jesus? That's how the hymn opens up. The first scripture that I would turn to support that lyric, that opening lyric, are you looking for Jesus? Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Are you looking for Jesus? Well, he's looking for you. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Friend, Jesus is looking for you. Are you looking for answers? The song continues. His answers are true. Again, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Look, are you looking for those answers? His answers are true. The Bible contains his answers. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Are you looking for family? We are looking for you. So not only is Jesus looking for you, his church, we're looking for you too. We want you to be part of Christ, part of Christ's family, his church, his body, his bride. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on the earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of, that means by the authority of, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's Jesus telling us to add to his family. We actually are his family, and we are looking for you. We are waiting with Jesus. He will surely add you. Now, I'm going to cover that. Acts chapter 2 is what we're going to cover for the closer in this, the Lord's invitation, but Acts 2:47 says, praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's the only way to get into the one pre-denominational church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. Let me say that again, pre-denominational, before all religious division. That's the church that you are added to when you do whatever Jesus said you must do for salvation. It's not a denomination. The chorus begins, you may be wondering if his church still stands. Matthew 16:18. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He is the way, and he has offered life. Upon this rock I will build my church, that is possessive, that is singular, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means that that one church, which is literally pre-denominational, is still standing. That's the one I want to be a part of. That's the one I want you to be a part of. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. Friend, this is how Jesus has his hand stretched out to you. Go preach the gospel to the whole world. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16:15-16. That is how Jesus has his outstretched hand facing you. He is the way, and he has offered life. John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The chorus ends, the church of Christ is the church of Christ. Again, Matthew 16:18. That's the one church that he promised to build. It's possessive, it's singular, and it's still here. The next verse, are you seeking salvation? Well, we have sought it too. We found it in Jesus, and he is the truth. All spiritual blessings are found in Christ. That's Ephesians 1:3. That's where we found salvation. We looked for it. We found it. We took him up on his offer of salvation. Mark 16:16, for those who believe and are baptized. We got into Christ, Galatians 3:27, and we accessed the spiritual blessing of salvation, Ephesians 1:3, that is found in Christ. We found it in Jesus, and he is the truth. Again, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He will save the one body, one Savior, one bride. I would call to Ephesians 4:4-6, one body, one Spirit, called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4:4-6. He will save the one body. He's the head. He has one body. He's the king. He has one kingdom. He's the bridegroom. He has one holy bride, as Revelation 21:2 describes her. And it's just like the one ark, the song continues, all the saved are inside. Do you think that anyone was saved outside of that one ark, or was it just Noah and his family from Genesis chapter 7? It's just like the one ark. The church is just like the one ark. The one church, the one ark. All of the saved are inside his church, which is not a denomination. Just like all of the saved were in the one ark. There was no ark of your choice. There were no denominations of arks. You couldn't just build your own after your own pattern. If you wanted salvation, and only eight took him up on it, from the floodwaters, you were going to get on the ark. And the one church is just like that. You may be wondering if his church still stands. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand, Mark 16, 15, and 16. He is the way and he has offered life, John 14, 6. The church of Christ is the church of Christ. I mean, it's the church that belongs to Christ. It's the one church that he promised to build, that he promised would always stand. Now, we are not that one church because we claim to be. We aren't even that one church because we wear a biblical designation of ownership, the church of or belonging to Christ. Even though that is part of abiding in the doctrine of Christ, it is abiding in the doctrine of Christ that determines whether a church is just a man-made denomination or it's actually the one church that belongs to Christ. 2 John 1:9, he that abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. But the rest of that passage is super comforting. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Friends, that's how you are a Christian. You turn to the completely sufficient word, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 1:9, and then you abide in it. You stick with it. You teach it. You obey it. You teach others to obey it. If you do that, well, that makes you a Christian. You do whatever Jesus said you must do. That's abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Now, if you turn to man-made manuals and creed books, what you're going to get are the doctrines of men. And he that abides not in the doctrine of Christ, but instead abides in the doctrine of men, has not God. You can't become a Christian by turning to man-made manuals and creeds. It's the doctrine of Christ. It's sourced from that completely sufficient word. The next verse continues, are you ready to know him? Please obey the one truth. I would appeal to Galatians 3, 1, 26, and 27, where they obeyed the truth in faith, verse 26, by being baptized, verse 27. Let me do that again. They obeyed the truth, Galatians 3, 1, in faith, Galatians 3, 26, by being baptized. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How many? How many have put on Christ and become Christians? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Remember what we just discussed about Ephesians 1:3, where all the spiritual blessings are found in Christ? Obey the truth in faith by being baptized. This results in you getting into Christ and accessing the spiritual blessing of salvation. Through obedience, we know him, the song continues, and our love is shown true. I love this particular combination of verses. John 14, 15, John 15, 14, and 1 John 2, 3. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, 15. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. John 15, 14. And 1 John 2, 3. This is beautiful because if you want to know Jesus, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. It's just a memory tag I've used. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1 John, that's the one, chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 3. Do you want to know him? Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Through obedience we know him and our love is shown true. It's the blood that will save us, the song continues. There's no doubt. It's the blood. It's the blood that saves us. But it's when the blood saves us. It's the blood that will save us, oh, when we are inside. Matthew 26:28 tells us that his blood was shed for many, for the remission of sins for many. Matthew 26:28. Where is that blood found? Oh, it's in the death of Christ. It's when we're united in death with Christ. Romans 6:3-4 and 17. I love this passage because it starts with, don't you know this? Friend, this is something you need to know. If you don't already know this, Paul starts that passage, Romans 6:3-4 and verse 17, by saying, don't you know this? Only as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. That's where the blood is found. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We put that old man of sin to death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's the Christian life. When you are raised from that death, the watery grave of baptism, that's walking in newness of life, the Christian life. That's walking as a Christian. You are raised at that moment, not before, as a Christian. Don't you know this? Verse 17, but God be thanked, you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. That's the doctrine of Christ that we talked about, 2 John 1:9. When we're baptized into him, we become the one bride. That's how the last verse ends there. That's when you become the bride of Christ. That's when you become a Christian. That's when you have your sins washed away. And that's when Jesus adds you. Revelation 21:2 calls us a bride adorned for her husband. Husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5:25. That final chorus, you may be wondering if his church still stands. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. Mark 16:16 again. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Friend, that's how Jesus has his outstretched hand toward you. He is the way, John 14:6, he's offered life, Christian life. Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. You can have confidence, church, that this is the church, the one pre-denominational church that belongs to Christ. You know, that's what that term means. The Church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ. We don't wear any man-made divisive names that strip the glory from Jesus, to whom all glory is due, and hand it over to some fallible man. We don't wear man-made titles and names, and we can't become anything other than Christians by obeying the doctrine of Christ, the one gospel offer for salvation. If you do what everyone did in the book of Acts, you will become a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less. You won't be hyphenated. You won't be divided. Religious division hurts the Lord. I would submit John 17:20-23, his prayer for unity. I encourage you to read that after this message is over. Focus on the result of what happens when we are unified in the doctrine of Christ rather than divided into man-made denominations, none of which exist by the authority of Jesus Christ. No denomination exists by the authority of Jesus Christ. I'd like to offer you the Lord's invitation now. It's not mine. It's not the Church of Christ's invitation. It's the Lord's invitation for salvation. I'm going to give you just what Peter gave the people there in the first century, day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It's recorded for us. This is just going to be my commentary on it. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Acts 2:21. But those folks did not know how to call on the name of the Lord. We know this because they asked what they needed to do. They told those folks they had killed the one Son of God. They feared God and said, what must we do? What do we do about this, being guilty of the death of Jesus? Peter gave them a definitive answer, and it's the same answer that faithful Christians have been giving since that day. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of, that's by the authority of, Jesus Christ. It's because Jesus Christ said so. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Remember Matthew 26:28? We just covered his blood shed for many for the remission of sins, and repentance and baptism for the remission of sins is by the authority of Jesus Christ. That is when you benefit from that perfect, precious, shed blood of Jesus Christ, the one Son of God. He went on to say that that offer for salvation is good for you and everyone who follows. That would be you, friend, in Acts 2:39. And he advised the same thing I'm advising you. So save yourselves. That's right. That's what Peter said. Save yourselves. 3,000 people did it that day. They gladly received his word by being baptized, and they were added, which brings us to the Acts 2:47 that we brought up a while ago. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, the ones who saved themselves by taking Jesus up on his offer for salvation made by his servant Peter. Peter made the offer for salvation by the authority of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. That includes you, friend. If you do this, your sins will be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ himself will add you to his one church, which is literally pre-denominational and literally still right here. Friend, the church of Christ is the church of Christ. I'm a Christian. I was added by Jesus to that one church. That's what I want for you. If you've done something else, maybe you've invited Jesus into your heart, or you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've said some sinner's prayer, you need to know that that is not in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not by the authority of Jesus Christ. That offer for salvation does not work and can be described as a fable. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. I encourage you to look up all these scriptures. If you've done those things instead of what Peter said for everyone to do, friend, you're not yet washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have not yet been added to Jesus Christ. You have not yet been added to his church. You are not in Christ. Galatians 3:27, where all spiritual blessings are found. Ephesians 1:3, and that's what I want for you. That's what Jesus wants for you. He's waiting with his outstretched hand. Mark 16:15-16. Go preach the gospel. That's what I'm doing for you. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Take Jesus up on his most merciful offer for salvation. Do what all penitent believers did in the book of Acts. Every single account of conversion in the book of Acts begins with belief and ends in baptism. You can know at that point that God will perform a powerful working on your heart, circumcising the sin from it, removing the body of flesh of sin from your flesh. It's Colossians 2:10-12. I've given you a lot to chew on. I encourage you to go back and look up all these scriptures. If you have questions, you can get with me or any of the hosts here. I'm so grateful for this privilege. I love Jesus Christ. I love God. I love holy truth, the Bible. And friend, I love you. If you haven't done what all those folks did in the Bible, in the book of Acts, you need to do it now. Let us help you with that. I'll turn it back over to our host, Brother Stroud. Thank you so much.